The scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Acts, the second chapter, verses 1 through 21. So listen for the word of God. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, and I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall have dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, beginning at the 15th verse. Hear now these words. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." Here ends our reading. Let us pray. O Lord God, we thank you for the words of Holy Scripture, and we ask that your Spirit that fills this room this day guide us in our thoughts and my words this morning. Amen. Christian missionary Herbert Jackson told how, as a new missionary, he was assigned a car that would not start without a push. So after pondering this problem, he devised a plan. He went to the school near his home and got permission to take some children out of class and had them push his car so that it could start. Then, as he made his rounds, he would either park on a hill facing downward, or he would just leave the engine running. And he used this ingenious procedure for 2 years. And then ill health forced him to leave and a new missionary to come to this station. The new missionary came and Jackson proudly showed him around and took him to the car. And he began to explain the arrangement for getting the car started. And this new missionary, while he was talking, began to look around the car, and finally he opened up the hood, and before the explanation was complete, the new missionary interrupted and said, "Why, Dr. Jackson, I believe the only trouble is this loose cable." And he gave the cable a twist, stepped into the car, turned the key, and to Jackson's astonishment, the engine roared to life. For 2 years, needless trouble had become routine for missionary Jackson. The power to start the car was there all the time. Only a loose connection kept Jackson from putting that power to work. For many of us, this story illustrates our own faith. For we live spiritually unconnected lives, which keeps us from accessing the power of the Holy Spirit, even though the Holy Spirit is with us all the time. In a way, we're like the disciples on the day before Pentecost. In the scripture passage that Kim read this morning, we relived the story of that first Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. Until that moment, the disciples were only waiting further instructions, and they had no idea what those instructions might be. What they did know, we discovered in our second reading, the one I read from John. Here, Jesus tells his disciples that he will be leaving them soon, a veiled reference to his impending death on the cross. But Jesus tells them that he will send someone in his place. The word that I read was advocate. In the Greek, the word is paraclete, the Greek language of the New Testament. This is an unusual word, used only in John, and it is difficult to get a good English translation of the word. I went and looked at other translations. The New Revised Standard, as I said, used the English word advocate, which, by the way, is where we get our name for our church newsletter. The Good News translation uses the English word helper. The New International Version uses the word counselor. And the Message Bible translates this same word as friend. As you can see, the translators have been struggling to find the best English word for this Greek word, paraclete. The Greek word literally means one who comes alongside, sometimes used as a legal term. The paraclete, thus, was someone who pleaded your case for you, perhaps. And yet, Jesus seems to mean more than a courtroom advocate when he uses this word, paraclete. There's a story told about Jackie Robinson, who was the first black baseball player to play in the major leagues. Breaking baseball's color barrier, he faced jeering crowds in every stadium. While playing one day in his home stadium in Brooklyn, he committed an error, and the fans began to ridicule him. He stood at second base, humiliated, while the fans jeered. And then shortstop Pee Wee Reese came over and stood next to him. He put his arm around Jackie and faced the crowd. The fans grew quiet. Robinson later said that that arm around his shoulder saved his career. I wonder if that isn't what Jesus meant when he used the word paraclete. One of the problems we have when we talk about the Holy Spirit is that we are so limited in trying to describe the Spirit of God. Our words just don't seem adequate. Look at the different ways that the Holy Spirit is described in this passage from Acts. First, the Holy Spirit is described as a mighty wind. And the wind might be a good way to describe the Holy Spirit. Think about it for a moment. The wind can be comforting, bringing a coolness on a hot day. The wind can be helpful, drying out the towels that are hanging on the line. The wind can provide energy, whether moving sailboats across a lake or turning wind turbines into electricity. Yet the wind is also powerful and to be feared by anyone who has lived through a tornado or a hurricane. The Holy Spirit is all this: powerful, comforting, helpful, energy providing, all at once. But more than any of these analogies, the wind best describes the uncontrollable nature of the Holy Spirit. We use the phrase, wherever the wind may blow, to indicate that we have no control. And in the same way, we have no control over the Holy Spirit. But wind is not the only way the Spirit is described in our passage in Acts. We also read that the Spirit stopped above each of the disciples and appeared as tongues of fire. Fire is another image associated with the Holy Spirit. And when we think of the Holy Spirit as fire, we conjure up many of the same qualities conjured up with wind. Fire is both useful and destructive. It can be summoned but not controlled. Fire exists but cannot be grasped. It is energy in pure form. And this is one way to think about the Holy Spirit, as pure spiritual energy. One of the most creative illustrations ever used to describe the Holy Spirit was done by a Sunday school teacher in the church where I did my student ministry. He might have gotten this idea from a book, but I'll give him credit here. This teacher had the class sit in a circle, and in front of the chairs there was an electric cord, and the teacher had the students pick up the cord and hold it in their hands. And then he plugged a lamp into one end of the cord, and the other end he plugged into the wall. And the lamp, of course, went on. And the students all knew this would happen. And there was nothing surprising about this. And then the teacher asked why the light went on. And they said it was because the electricity made it go on. And then the teacher asked them if they were holding the electricity in their hands. And at first they said yes. And then they thought about it in a moment and realized they were only holding the cord. They weren't really holding the electricity. The teacher then told them that the Holy Spirit was like that electricity. They could know that the Holy Spirit was there by the results, but they could never see or hold the Holy Spirit itself. That has been the challenge throughout the ages to describe the Holy Spirit. It's like electricity, but it isn't electricity. It is like the wind, but it isn't the wind. It is like fire, but it isn't fire. Elsewhere in the Bible, the Holy Spirit descends like a dove, but it isn't a dove. It descends, it hovers, it blesses, it breathes, it gives, it counsels, it comforts, it admonishes, it guides, it is. The famous Christian author James Packer once described the Holy Spirit as a floodlight. He wrote, "I remember walking into church one winter evening to preach on these words, 'He will glorify me.' Seeing the building floodlit as I turned the corner, I realized that was exactly the illustration my message needed. When lighting is done well, the floodlights are placed so that you cannot see them. In fact, you're not supposed to see them. You're supposed to see where the light is coming from. You are meant to see is just the building on which the floodlights are trained. The intended effect is to make visible what otherwise would not be seen for the darkness, and to maximize its dignity by throwing all its details in relief so that you can see it properly. This perfectly illustrated the Spirit's covenant role. He is, so to speak, the hidden floodlight shining on the Savior. Maybe Packer is right. The Spirit illuminates what we need to know, and that is Jesus Christ, our Savior. Unlike the first Pentecost, most of the time we don't even know that the Spirit is doing its work, for it is hidden from us. But this work is all around us. The Spirit is working in our prayers, giving us words that we cannot utter. The Spirit is working in our lives, directing us to those who might need our gifts. The Spirit is working in our groups, guiding us to wise decisions. And the Holy Spirit is our connection to God. The ancient church father, St. Ignatius, once described the Holy Spirit as the rope that lifts humanity from earth to heaven. And maybe that's the best illustration. The Holy Spirit is our continual connection to God that lifts us up. We live in an age 2,000 years removed from the events of the New Testament, and yet those events are as alive to us today as they were 2,000 years ago, because the Holy Spirit is continually at work amongst us. We may not have a rushing wind this morning, maybe just enough breeze from the air conditioning unit to put a flame out. There may not be tongues of fire dancing in our head, but we do have the Holy Spirit within us and amongst us this morning. And with that, we have the comfort of knowing that we are always connected with our God. Amen.